Have your Bibles this morning. If you would, please turn to Isaiah 55. The title of today's lesson is God's Free Gift of Grace. The text will be verses 1 through 3. What is grace? Grace is God giving His people what they don't deserve. And what did He give us? He gave us the unspeakable gift, the precious Lamb of God, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53 is our Savior's sin offering. Verses 4 and 5 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed." His sacrifice for sin is our atonement. He became a substitute, and His blood sacrifice is our justification. Isaiah 54 speaks of our Savior's promises, and these promises are to His people. If you look just above 55 at verse 17, the Word of God says, and speaking to His people, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord." And listen to this, "Their righteousness is of me." Our Lord's perfect obedience to His Father is our righteousness. In Romans 8, God's Word says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" It also says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." And then it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. His righteousness sanctifies, and His blood justifies." And then in chapter 55 is our Savior's call, the call of free grace. And these words in chapter 55 are the words of our living God. If you would, let's read chapter 55. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." He's speaking of Christ here. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." The Bible tells His people, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I'd send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, but shall not be cut off. Let's read verse 1 here again. He says, ho, as Christ Jesus our Lord said, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, come ye, buy. Come he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This verse here speaks in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense. He's speaking of a spiritual thirst, a thirst for God, a thirst for his forgiveness, a thirst for his fellowship, a thirst to win Christ and to be found in him. And he says, everyone, Jew or Gentile, young or old, male or female, God's word says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed is he that thirst after our Lord, for they shall be filled. The Lord said in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Even our brother David said in Psalm 42, my soul thirsteth for the living God. God's elect receives the full blessings of God, not only in the hereafter, but we receive him now. And every day, as his people, we are to seek the spiritual blessings of Christ. Why is that? Because we are a needed people. We're a very fragile people. And we need his grace, and we need his mercy every day. And he's always near. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened unto you. He says, come to Christ. He is the fountain of life. He is the bread of life. He is life. In verse 1, he says, come ye into the waters. In other words, come to Christ. God's word says in Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn over to Matthew 11. And keep your place here. Turn over to Matthew 11. God's word is such peace to his people. You look at verse 28 through 30. Our Lord and Savior said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for For I am meek and lowly in heart. And listen to this. You shall find rest for your souls. That's a promise from our Lord. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I said, he is the fountain of life. He is the bread of life. Verse 1, he says, come into the waters. Come to Christ. God's word is absolute truth. For he is absolute sovereign in providence, salvation, and creation. And God puts that thirst in us. It don't come natural for us to want it. It's not in a natural man to want anything to do with God. All good gifts and all perfect gifts come from him. It says here in verse 1 in Isaiah 55. It says that he that hath no money, the poor and the needed. What does it mean to be poor and needed? We're nothing but sinners. And the only thing that we all have to offer to our God is our sin. One preacher said, to have nothing, to know nothing, and to be nothing is to be poor and needed. We realize that we have nothing to bring to God. That salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. And we must come to Christ on his terms, not on our terms, but on his terms. The Lord Jehovah became a man, and he redeemed all of the people that God had placed in him before the beginning of the world. We buy or we believe in God's free grace in Christ Jesus and his finished work upon the cross. We feed and we feast upon Christ. We need Christ and we need his graces and we need his comforts, whether we realize it or not. In this world that we live in, we need him each and every day of our lives. We have nothing within ourselves. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. If you will, hold your place here and turn to 1 Peter. Please. First Peter, verse 18. It says in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Grace is a gift. Redemption is a gift. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him, God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has given unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. It's all in Christ. The book of James, verse 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. That's even the gift of repentance. We are able to repent by the goodness of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of ourselves. So we have nothing to boast about. And our text here in verse 2, it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight of itself in fatness. He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor which satisfieth not? He's talking about two things here. He's talking about materialism. He's talking about false religion. If you will, hold your place here and turn to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse The Bible says that we're to set our affection on things above and not on things of this world. Luke 12, verse 15. God's Word says, and we got to always remember that we're very fragile and that God is absolute sovereign in providence and our days are numbered. And he says here in verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possess. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my food? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We must remember that our lives are in the hands of Christ, that we are his bride, and we are not our own. The Bible says that we were bought with a price and that he is our Lord. The people that Christ is talking about here is people that are in false religion. It says back in the council halls of eternity that God chose a people for his son. And through sanctification of the spirit and belief of the truth, they are placed in Christ Jesus. Christ said, when I walked on this earth, incarnate in the flesh, when I come to this earth as a representative, as for my people, but the Bible says, for in Adam all died, and in Christ we are made alive. Christ Jesus our Lord, out of a perfect righteousness, fulfilled all righteousness, and he imputed that righteousness into his people. All the glorious redemptive work of God is in Christ Jesus and in him alone. So many people are relying on their works for salvation. They know about him, but they don't know him. I heard a preacher say one time, if it's 99% grace and 1% works, it's useless. God said, I will not share my glory with no one. Salvation is of the Lord. Our Lord said that they have eyes, but they don't see. They don't see the glory of Christ. They don't see the power and the wisdom of God in Christ. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. His sacrifice for sin is our atonement. His blood sacrifice is our justification. It's all in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right, let's ask this question. What should we do to do the works of God? The Bible tells us in John 6. If you would, hold your place and look over at John 6. Verse 28. God's word says in John 6, verse 28, then said they unto him, they was curious, what should we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, now listen to this closely, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Turn back to Isaiah 55. To believe on him whom God hath sent. That word belief is more than head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It's to believe and to trust. and to rely and to rest upon Christ Jesus and Him alone. Psalms 35, 5 through 11. If you will, turn there. In Isaiah 55, he said, listen diligently. He's saying, listen carefully to what I've got to say. Go after food that is for the soul, not the food that is for, you know, the things that we see are only temporary. Life is like a vapor. It lasts for a little while and it's gone. But the things that we don't see, they're eternal. And then in Psalms 36, look at verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountain. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Wherefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, for which thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove. We need to feed upon Christ, our spiritual food, each and every day of our lives. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We'll turn back to Isaiah 55, and it says here in verse 3, he says to incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He says to incline your ear. You know, there's only two kind of people in this world, saved sinners and lost sinners. You know, we're all sinners. We have two natures. The body is fed through the mouth, and the soul is fed through the ear. That's why it's so important that we hear the Word of God preached every chance that we get. It's important that we read the Word, because that's God speaking to His people. That's God speaking to His people. You know, it says that as God is led, we need to thank God every day for His compassion and His grace. Why is that? It's because He shows us His grace. He shows it to us every day, His mercy every day. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. He does that for His elect. And as I said, we need to hear His word and we need to keep on hearing His word. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I was looking to Jesus yesterday. I was looking to Jesus today. I'll be looking to Jesus tomorrow, Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said, I'll be looking to Christ when I leave this world and go to be with Him. I'll still be looking to Christ. Verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He says here that I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Here, David actually is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the everlasting covenant of grace that he has given his people when he placed Christ Jesus. Whenever he placed Christ in his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isaiah 54:10 says, there's so many promises in this word. That's why it's so important. You know, in the world that we live in, We're so fragile, we don't know what we're going to face from one day to the other. And there's so many promises to his people that is in his word. And his word is absolute truth. And he says that I will do all my will, and none can stay my hand or say what doeth I vow. But in Isaiah 54:10, he says, and listen to this, he's talking to his people, to his elect. He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but by my kindness, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall thy covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, to have mercy on thee. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his love is our everlasting hope. And I thank God for his word. I'm finished. Thank you.